ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 12। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड मोहिनी मूर्ति बिगल्डर्स लॉर्ड शिवा। टेक्स्ट नंबर 45, 46 एंड 47। टेक्स्ट नंबर 45, प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। श्री शुक उवाच इति ते विहितस्तात विक्रमाशारंगधन्वना सिन्धुर्निर्मथनेयेन धृतपृष्ठे महाचलः। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, माय डियर किंग, the person who bore the great mountain on his back for the churning of the ocean of milk is the same supreme personality of Godhead known as Sharanga Dhanva. I have now described to you his prowess. Text number 46, translation. The endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk will never be fruitless. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Text number 47, translation. Assuming the form of a young woman and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport. The instruction of this narration concerning the churning of the milk ocean is clearly manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is equal to everyone, because of natural affection, he favors his devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshu stina priya e bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu japiham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. This partiality of the Supreme Personality of God is natural. A person cares for his children not because of partiality, but in a reciprocation of love. The children depend on the father's affection, and the father affectionately maintains the children. Similarly, because devotees do not know anything but the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord is always prepared to give protection to his devotees and fulfill their desires. He therefore says, Kaunteha pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva. Assuming the form of a young woman, and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances. Hare Krishna. So, as Srila Prabhupada is speaking in this purport, the main point of his focus in this purport is Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the aspect of Lord Krishna, where he naturally is very much affectionate to his devotees. That is, Lord Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. So we thought today to speak something on this topic, and whatever I could gather from lectures and Srila Prabhupada's books, can only present theoretically, not much realization is there, but at least I will embark on this path of pleasing some Vaishnavas here. So, once Shamanantru gave a very wonderful story. He was quoting the story, a biblical story, that Jesus Christ once spoke this story that there was one shepherd who had 100 lambs and he would every day go out to graze them. So one day in the evening when he returned, he saw that one lamb was missing. Only 99 lambs had returned and it was already night. So all the assistant shepherds told him that it's not a big problem, one lamb is gone. In due course of time, one more lamb will come. 6 months, the lamb will procreate and one more lamb will come. Don't have to worry. And the shepherd said, well, definitely 99 lambs have come. That is the grace of God. But that one lamb which is left behind is also important for me. And therefore I cannot leave that lamb. And so with a lantern in hand, in the dead of the night, the shepherd went out to search for the lamb. So Prabhuji was mentioning that Jesus quoted this story to say that how for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, every person is important, every devotee is important. He doesn't want to miss any devotee. His relationship is with each and every devotee and therefore he likes to serve his devotee and takes care of him. And that is very much the reason why Lord Krishna, in his various incarnations, he comes here. The only reason he comes here is basically to take care of his devotees. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions the reason for his descent, why he appears. And there he mentions that he appears initially to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish religion, and third is to protect his devotees. But our Acharyas mentions that the initial two reasons of annihilating and re-establishing religion can be done by any agent of Krishna. Krishna doesn't have to do it personally. But the main reason Krishna comes is to protect his devotees and to take care of his devotees. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it glorifies Supreme Lord in terms of trying to show his fault. When a person is glorified by showing his fault, that is called as Vyajastuti. So there are two glorification given, or rather two so-called faults mentioned in that Upanishad. And the first one is that Lord Krishna can never be in darkness. That is one thing, two things which he cannot do in this world. The first is he cannot be in darkness. Why? Because Lord Krishna always, wherever he goes, Krishna Surya Samaya Maya Vandagar. So Krishna can never be in darkness. That is first thing. And second thing is, Krishna can never refuse any person who comes and takes shelter of him. So in terms of so-called faults, Krishna is glorified. Krishna cannot refuse anyone. And Krishna has to protect. Krishna is a very loving master. Like I was hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was mentioning the master and servant relationship in the spiritual world, and then he was comparing the same in the material world. He was mentioning, in the spiritual world, the Supreme Master, Lord Krishna, is always inclined to favor his devotees. He always wants to see his devotees happy and pleased. But in the material world, the masters in the material world, they want to take as much service as possible from his servant. That means they will give him more work and less pay and get maximum from him. Whatever you could get. But in the spiritual world, Prabhupada says that in the spiritual world, there is nothing to do. There is no service required. Prabhupada says Krishna is complete and therefore he doesn't depend on anyone's service. There is nothing required there. But yet, devotees, they want to do some service. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this in Bhagavatam purport that actually there is no dust in Vaikuntha. Yet Lakshmi Devi, millions of Lakshmi Devis, they are brooming. There is no dust, but they are still brooming. Why? Because they are hoping that while brooming, Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna can bestow their glands upon them. So seeing the smiling face of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is the goal of devotees in spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada says there is no question of sweeping or cleaning or cooking in the spiritual world. Krishna does not want, but Krishna still gives an opportunity so that he will be pleased by his devotees. So in this way, Prabhupada says, in material world, the master is always exploiting. And in spiritual world, the master is always trying to serve or give favors. In the material world, Srila Prabhupada says that a servant, even if he is given a lot of remunerations and is given enough, is enough paid also, but still he is not satisfied. He always grumbling, he wants more pay, he goes on strike, and many times he misunderstands his master. But in spiritual world, there is no such misunderstanding. Devotees are very happy in the spiritual world. Prabhupada says in material world, a person tries to serve someone, and even if he is accepted as a good servant, still there will be someone always who will not like him. And Prabhupada quotes the example of father of Indian nation, that is Mahatma Gandhi. He says he served so much India, and many were happy, but some people were not happy. And among them there was one person who was so distressed, so unhappy, that he went and shot him. He was killed. The very nation he served throughout his life, in the end he was killed by his own citizen. And this Prabhupada says that in material world, the master and the servant relationship is not proper. Why? Because both of them want to satisfy their senses. In spiritual world, unlike Lord Krishna wants to satisfy his devotees, and devotees want to satisfy Krishna. So there is a competition. There is a nice bhajan in Bengali. Dui lage hula huli. That is a competition. There is a tug of war going on between Krishna and his devotees. Who will serve the other? Nice. So, there is one nice anecdote which one devotee spoke, that the material world, everyone is thinking about his own self. The ultimate agenda, even in serving, is also what I will get. So this devotee was mentioning that when someone dies in the family, so the person who has died now, left, and now the other person is crying. So while crying, what does he say? In Hindi, say, aap chale gaye, mera kya hoga? This fellow has gone, what will happen to me, he is saying. But you are not asking what will happen to him, he has gone. But you are worried about what will happen to me. So that is selfishness in the material world. In spiritual world, in Krishna consciousness, we are always trying to please the master. We always want to serve the devotees. So Lord Krishna, as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, that Lord Krishna always wants to serve devotees, and that is the reason why he comes in this material world. That is the only reason. So we see so many incarnations of Lord Krishna. When he comes, primarily there is nothing but in the agenda to serve his devotees. So Krishna comes as Matsya, and when Krishna comes as in the Matsya roop, we see that how he comes in the Matsya avatar, because Brahmaji, he has lost the Vedas. So Matsya avatar is coming, and then he comes and kills Hayagriva, the demon Hayagriva, who has taken the Vedas from Brahmaji. And also then Lord Matsya goes on the earth planet and he saves Maharaj Satyavrata, I believe. And he, because there is a deluge, a pralaya is going to take place, and he protects Maharaj Satyavrata, his wife, and all the great sages and all the Vedas. And then, so that the next time Satyavrata Muni can become a Manu and he can procreate. So in Matsya avatar, his main stake is to protect devotees, to help Brahmaji and also help Maharaj Satyavrata. When he comes as Kurma, as we saw in this particular chapter, he comes to again serve his devotees, the demigods. When he comes as Varaha, he comes to lift Mother Earth. When he comes as Narsingadev, what is his business? He has come to protect Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada says, Lord Narsingadev did not have to come to kill Hiranyakashipu. Lord Narsingadev has his agent, Durga Devi, through which he is killing so many people. He can create a pralaya and kill so many people, but just to protect his devotees. And also Prabhupada says, to keep the words of his devotees. Whose word Lord Narsingadev kept? Brahmaji's word. Brahmaji had given a boon to Hiranyakashipu, and to keep that boon, Lord Narasingadev comes. And Prabhupada says, even if the devotee by mistake, he has given the boon, but still Krishna doesn't consider the mistake. Krishna still comes. So in the initial days of ISKCON, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York, it is mentioned that one time Srila Prabhupada got some photographs. He ordered some photographs from India. So they came in post, and they came in the hand of Yamuna Mataji, and she gave it to Prabhupada. So she removed the whole thing and gave it to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada saw all the snaps, and Prabhupada asked that there is one snap missing. Where is that? So Yamuna Mataji got that photo. And then that photo was Narasingadev's photo. So Prabhupada said, why did you not give me this? And Yamuna Mataji said that when I saw all the photos were so pleasing. But this one photo was so ghastly, half man, half lion. So I thought it's by mistake it has come. And therefore I kept it behind, besides. So Prabhupada says, yes, Krishna is very pleasing. Krishna is very beautiful and Krishna is always attractive. But sometimes Krishna comes in such a form to protect his devotees. So Krishna takes various incarnations in various forms to protect his devotees. That is Bhakta Vatsal nature. When Krishna came as Kapila, why he came? Because Karadamuni wanted Lord to be his son. That is the reason he comes. And then he gives instruction to his mother Devahuti. So we say take so many incarnations of the Lord. The primary reason for Lord's descent is he wants to serve his devotees. When Krishna is in Dwarka, in Mathura, and when Jarasandha is attacking Krishna, so many times he attacks Krishna. The last time he attacks Krishna, Krishna runs away. Krishna has already defeated 16 times Jarasandha. But the 17th time he attacks Krishna, leaves the battle. And then he gets the name Ranachod. He gets the name that he is leaving the battle. He is like a cowherd. But Krishna does not mind the name, the bad name. Why? Because Krishna is worried about his devotee. So Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that Krishna left that place because he knew that as soon as he goes to the newly built Dwarka, he is going to get a letter from Rukmini Devi. And therefore, to immediately go and receive the letter of Rukmini Devi, Krishna immediately leaves this battle and goes. Then it is also mentioned, Prabhupada says in one of the purport, that 16,100 queens which Krishna got by killing Banasur, Bhomasur. So when Bhomasur was killed, all these ladies came and said, we cannot go home because we have been staying away from home for so long time. No one will accept us. And they asked that Krishna, please accept us. And Krishna knows they are all devotees, so Krishna immediately accepts them. And Prabhupada says, Krishna did not just accepted them, but Krishna also kept them nicely. Prabhupada says, Krishna did not make a big camp and just put them all together. Krishna, he built 16,100 palaces for each one of them. And it is not like they had to wait after Krishna goes to each and every one of them. Krishna expanded. And Krishna gave pleasure to all of them. So in this way, Krishna takes care of devotees. In the Mahabharata, we see how Pandavas, they were also favored and taken care of Krishna. In fact, many times if we have not read Mahabharata properly, or if you are not, if someone is not a devotee, they may mistake that they were Pandavas or Krishna's devotees, then why so many problems happen to them? But if someone reads Mahabharata very nicely, the acharyas have mentioned so nicely that actually the whole, everything, whatever is happening to Pandavas, were always in their favor. Always in their favor. There was nothing where they were having any problems in their life. Any problem apparently happening in their life was leading them to a great success. The other day I was hearing a class. I wanted to give a lecture on like failures are stepping stone to success. And I was hearing a class of a devotee. And then I read the Mahabharata story. I was feeling that this is the best story. Failures are stepping stone to success. Why? Because apparent failures in Pandava's life were only stepping stone to success. So I thought today I can speak something on Mahabharata, on how Pandavas, how Krishna reciprocated with Pandavas' love. Now, apparently, any failure which came in Pandavas' life also was a disguised success. Like when it is mentioned that when Pandu, he left his body, and all the Pandavas and Kunti Maharani, they came back to the kingdom. That time, Duryodhan small, was very small. he was very envious, and he was always wanting an opportunity to destroy the Pandavas. So one time he knew that Bhimsen likes to eat nice prasad. So he called all the Pandavas for a feast very very far away from the kingdom. A special house was made. All the Pandavas were called, five Pandavas. And especially Bhima was given a cake which was full of poison. So Bhima ate the cake and he felt very drowsy, he slept. Bhima could digest so much that the poison had to take some time to even to act on him. So he felt drowsy, and then what happened? All the Pandavas, four Pandavas were told that you go, we'll bring Bhimsen back, Duryodhan told him. So when they saw that Bhimsen is completely unconscious, at that time they threw Bhimsen, Duryodhan and Dushasan threw Bhimsen. They had to very difficult carrying the Bhimsen also. They threw Bhimsen into the river. And apparently it looked like Bhimsen was killed. But Bhimsen was carried into the lower regions of the water, into the Naga Loka, where the serpents tried to bite him. But because there was already poison in his body, the serpent's poison counteracted the poison of Bhima. And the Naga Loka, the in charge of Naga Loka, he gave so many boons to Bhimsen and told him that you will get the power of 10,000 elephants. So Bhimsen comes out more powerful. He was given a cake with poison, but he comes out more powerful. And then later, we see that how when they grow up, all of them grow up so much. And then Duryodhan decides that let us kill all of them by putting them in a house of fire. So he convinces Dhritarashtra that he should convince Pandavas that they need a vacation now. And they should go to a place, and there he should spend a vacation. Also, they should worship Lord Shiva in that place. So when the Pandavas are convinced, they go to the house of Shalak. And what happens? Apparently it looks, everyone thinks in the kingdom of Hastinapur, even Bhishma thinks, Dronacharya feel that the Pandavas are already dead because of the house on fire. And here, disguised as forest dwellers, the five Pandavas are without kingdom and they are roaming here and there in the forest. But even that apparent failure leads to their success. It is mentioned that while they were traveling, Bhimsen kills Hidimba, the demon Hidimba, and then he gets married to Hidimbi. And through that, Bhimsen gets son Ghatotkach, who happens to be a very important person, who takes a major role in the battle of Kurukshetra. And Bhimsen and all the Pandavas, they go ahead, and sage Vyasdeva meets them. Sage Vyasdeva is also the incarnation of Krishna. So he helps them by saying that you should go to this place called as Ekachakra. Go there. And from there you go ahead and meet Drupada, because he's arranging a swayamvar of Draupadi, his daughter. So they go there, and Ekachakra, we know that how Bhimsen, he gets a chance, his hand on Bakasur. Bhimsen is always waiting for opportunity like that. Bhimsen, actually during the travels, it is mentioned, Bhamar says that Bhimsen was not satisfied because he would not get proper food to eat. And then when he gets the opportunity of carrying the cart load of food for Bakasur, he is very much happy, satisfied, because he will get a lot of food to eat, and also he will be able to exercise his strength. After a long time, he is getting a chance to exercise his strength on Bakasur. So Bakasur is killed, and it is mentioned when the Pandavas are staying in Ekachakra, we hear from Navadvip Dhamatmay that how Lord Nityananda appears there. Lord Balaram appears in the dream of the Pandavas and say that in Kali Yuga I'll appear as Lord Nityananda here. So they were very happy to get the mercy of Lord Balaram. And then Lord Nityananda instructs them that he should go to Navadvip. So they go to Navadvip and they reach this island, Modadurumdvip. And there is a place today also, Mahatpura, where Yudhishthir Maharaj and all they stayed there. And there they saw the vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after they leave this place, then they go to Drupada's kingdom. And there, this apparently looking Brahmanas, dressed as Brahmanas, the winner was Draupadi. Draupadi is married. And when she comes, it is mentioned Narad Muni comes. So either Krishna himself comes, or sage Vyasdeva comes, or Krishna's devotees come to help them, favor them. And Narad Muni is instructing Draupadi that you should serve your husband very nicely. and tells all the Pandavas that you are all together, but there might be dissension in you because of Draupadi. And then he gives a story of Sunda and Upasunda. The story of Upasunda and Sunda. They were two demons, very powerful, and they had got boons that no one can kill them. And they were so much great friends. So when they were asked that someone should kill you, so they asked the boon that, okay, we can only be killed by each other. And they were fully, convinced. Yeah. They were fully convinced that we are so good friends, good brothers, we can never fight with each other. And then how Brahmaji, he arranges for a lady to come, an apsara, and there is a dissension because of that lady, and they kill each other. So Narad Muni is telling this pastime to Pandavas that he should not have any dissension. So immediately all the Pandavas decide that now henceforward what we will do is we will make some certain rules and regulations in our dealings with Draupadi. So once, one year Draupadi will associate with one Pandava. And when she is associating with one Pandava, the other Pandavas are not supposed to go and meet the person who is associating with Draupadi. If he interrupts, then he has to go on exile for 1 year. So this is a very serious vow they take up. So then what happens? It is mentioned that one time when Draupadi is associated with Yudhishthir Maharaj, she is in Yudhishthir Maharaj's room. That time a Brahmana comes and he wants some protection. There is some problem in his house. So he comes and seeks a shelter of Arjuna. So Arjuna says, okay, I'll help you because you have come to. But Arjuna remembers that he has kept his bow and arrow in the room of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Now there is one place where the Brahmana is asking for help. Kshatriya cannot refuse it. If refused, then it will be a big insult to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And on the other hand, there is a vow which has been taken by all the Pandavas that they cannot enter into the room of other Pandava. But Arjuna decides, let me break this vow to keep this most important principle of protecting the Brahmanas. So he enters there and he just goes and picks up his bow and arrow. And even though he has, basically, he has not broken the vow, but he comes out, he goes and helps the Brahmana, he comes back and he says, I'll go on exile. And Yudhishthir Maharaj has a hard time to convince him. He's trying to convince him, no, you're actually not broken the vow. You've done the right thing because that time it was needed. But Arjuna takes up that exile very seriously and he goes on exile. But even the apparent exile also turns to be very favorable to Arjuna. Arjuna goes on exile, he meets so many rishis and sages, and then he is one time bathing in river Gandaki, and then from down he is pulled by a force, and that is one of the ladies from Nagaloka. She becomes attracted to Arjuna and she pulls Arjuna, and that is Ulupi. And then Arjuna gets married to Ulupi, and through that Arjuna gets a very powerful son. So Arjuna apparently comes out, then he goes to Manipur, and then he gets married to Chitrangada. And it's mentioned that Arjuna goes and meets many other sages, and each one of them, each of the interaction he has, he marries a prince, he gets a benediction, he gets a boon. When he marries Ulupi, the Ulupi gives him benediction that you will never be harmed by any reptile creatures. So that's the benediction he gets. So taking this benediction, Arjuna goes, and then he, there is five Apsara lakes, Panch Apsara lake, where he goes and he destroys the five crocodiles there. All those crocodiles are all Gandharvas and Gandharva ladies who got cursed. But Arjuna is not harmed by them because he had got this boon. And from them, the Gandharvas were relieved of their curse. Arjuna gets more benedictions. So apparent failure led to Arjuna getting more benedictions. And then how we see Arjuna comes to Dwarka, and then he marries Subhadra, and then Krishna manages the whole issue properly. And in this way, they already have blood relationship, but now the relationship becomes more thickened because of Krishna's sister being married to Arjuna. So in this way, wherever we see in Mahabharata, we see that apparent calamity in the Pandava's life was actually very much good for them. Then we see that how, when all the Pandavas came back marrying Draupadi, then when there was a lot of force on Dhritarashtra that he should give them kingdom, so Dhritarashtra decides to give half of his kingdom to the Pandavas. But he's so crooked that he gives that half kingdom to the Pandavas which is useless. That is Khandavaprastha. it is mentioned that some great rishi in many ages before that had cursed one of the Kuru dynasty king that this particular land will not be fertile, nothing will grow here. And that land was selected and given to the Pandavas to rule. So as soon as Dhritarashtra makes the proclaim that Yudhishthira Maharaj will be the king of that land, Yudhishthira Maharaj is completely peaceful. He is not thinking, what is this? This is not a fair thing. But Yudhishthira Maharaj just sees Krishna, and Krishna is smiling. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is very comfortable. Krishna is smiling means something good will happen. So immediately all the Pandavas leave for Khandavaprastha, and along with them sage Vyasadeva also comes. Krishna also goes there. And then we see that how Krishna summon Indra and tell him that you should make this place fertile. So you drop all the heavenly nectar on this land and let it become more fertile. And then instructs Vishwakarma to bring to make a huge palace for the Pandavas. So a fertile-less land, a land which was useless, became a very prosperous land. And then we see that in Mahabharata, Krishna and Arjuna were once traveling, were going in that Khandavaprastha, which had now become Indraprastha. And they saw a huge forest. And Agnidev comes and he asks for a favor from Arjuna. Agnidev says that long ago, some rishis were performing sacrifice. And they perform a huge sacrifice and they kept on offering ghee after ghee. So Agni says, I ate so much of ghee that I have a problem of digestion. So he says that, therefore I want to increase my fire. And I want to eat now something. So I want this Khandavaprastha forest to be fully burned. So Krishna says, Arjuna, you should help Agni. And then Agni starts blowing up the fire all over the forest. And it is mentioned that while doing so, all the Rakshasas, all the Danavas and all the Nagas were all sinful creatures who were there inside the forest. They were either getting burned, or if they tried to escape, Arjuna was killing them by the arrows. And Mahabharata mentions, anyone who was killed by Arjuna's arrow, Danava, Rakshasa or Bihi Naga, by being killed by Arjuna's arrow, seeing Krishna, they all went to spiritual world. So apparently, even a non-devotee is favored. Sometimes people question, other religions question that your Krishna, he kills a demon. This is not good. But Krishna's killing is good. By Krishna's killing, he sends them to spiritual world. What is a better option? To stay here and practice sadhana bhakti or get killed by Krishna, go. So even a demon is also killed and is going to spiritual world. So we can see that Krishna's killing also is apparently good, actually good for the person. So Khandavaprastha is burnt, and in that Khandavaprastha there is this demon Mayasur who is trying to escape for his life. Agni is running after Mayasur to kill him, and Krishna takes up a Sudarshan Chakra to kill Mayasur, and at that Mayasur comes and takes shelter of Arjuna. So Arjuna says to Krishna that he has taken shelter of me, please leave him. So Krishna says, actually I was supposed to kill him, but because you are giving shelter, therefore I cannot kill him. And then Mayasur says to Arjuna that, please, whatever you want, I will help you. Please give me a chance to serve you. And Arjuna says, I give shelter, but I don't want any favor from you. So Arjuna refuses any favor from Mayasur. But Mayasur is not happy. So he turns to Krishna and says, please ask something so I can serve Arjuna. And Krishna is very intelligent. Krishna knows what to be asked. So immediately tells Mayasur, you can make a very magnificent assembly hall which is unparalleled anywhere in the creation. And Krishna knew the abilities of Mayasur, how he can make mystical assembly halls. And Mayasur makes mystical assembly hall for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is mentioned that Mayasur, he becomes so pleased that he decides to go to Mainaka mountain, and from there, Panchashrava, there was a demon Panchashrava, he was very much pleased with Mayasur, so he had given his mace Mayasur. That mace was 10,000 times more powerful than an ordinary mace. So Mayasur gets that mace and gives that gift to Bhimsen. And then he goes down into a lake, and from there gets Devadatta conch shell. And that conch shell is given to Arjuna. And he says that this conch shell is so powerful that when you blow this conch shell, by blowing of this conch shell, the opposite army, their hearts will be shattered. So we see how all the things are one by one connected, and finally we see how they help, all these things help them in the battle of Kurukshetra. So the assembly hall was made, and we see that how the assembly hall makes Duryodhan very much envious. And then he goes back, he convinces Dhritarashtra again that he should call all of them for a gambling match. And then apparent disaster takes place. Everything is lost. Draupadi is insulted. But even then, there is something good coming out of it. It is mentioned that when Draupadi was insulted and no one could answer it, and when Krishna supplied the unlimited amount of cloth for her and she was protected, the whole gambling match was going in favor of Duryodhan and party, it stopped. They could not understand what's happening here. And Dhritarashtra had to react for the first time in the gambling match. And he told that, "I am very sorry, Draupadi." And he told Draupadi to ask for benedictions. And Draupadi says, "You release Yudhishthir Maharaj. Let him not be slave." And so he releases and he says, "I am very happy that you are asking for your husband. Ask for some more boons." And then she asks for one more boon. "Release all other four Pandavas." So they are also released. And Dhritarashtra asks them that, "You ask one more boon." And Draupadi says, "No, I can't ask three boons. It is not good. Too much greed is not good." So Dhritarashtra, who is apparently such a sinful person, he becomes pleased by Draupadi. And he says, I grant you boon from my side that all the kingdom which you lost, you get it back." So now Pandavas are living back to their kingdom, and Duryodhan is again envious now. What is this? And there's a conversation going on in Duryodhan and Dushyasana, and they are complaining, "This old man, he spoiled our attempts." They're calling their father an old man, blind man. So they go back again and convince him that, "You get back Pandavas for one more gambling match. And then we will decide that in this gambling match, anyone who loses, he will go for 13 years exile and then 1 year incognito. And after that, he'll come back and he'll get the kingdom back." So Dhritarashtra, just now the whole thing has happened, but he's so much carried away by the affection for his son. The Pandavas have not yet reached Vindraprastha. Before that, the ministers go and call them back. And Yudhishthir comes back again. Now it is mentioned that why Yudhishthir kept quiet in the whole thing. Because just before the gambling match, when everything was going good on the side of Pandavas, Rajasuya Yagya was over, Vyasdev had come to meet Pandavas. And Pandavas were very happy to receive Vyasdev. And sage Vyasdev had told them that for 13 years, this earth will remain peaceful. Now 14 years, the earth will remain peaceful. After 14 years, there will be great massacre. Many Kshatriyas will be killed. And the fight will be between you and the Kauravas. So Yudhishthir Maharaj came to know that this will happen after 14 years. So he took a vow that time that, "I will try as much as possible that I will not be the responsible person for this war." So he took a vow that war will only take place if both the parties are against each other. "So I'll try my best not to be against anyone." And he took a vow that, "I will never speak against my superiors. Whatever they say, I'll agree by that." So he takes that vow, and then gambling match happens, and he just keeps quiet. Because he has taken a vow. He doesn't want to be the culprit for the war. But ultimately, the war has to take place. And this gambling match resulted in Bhimsen taking his terrible vows of tearing apart the chest of Dushyasana, drinking his blood, and tearing Duryodhana's thigh. Then Arjuna takes the vow of killing Karna. Sahadev takes the vow of killing Shakuni. So all these vows are taken. Apparently, very composed Pandavas, they were incited, their Kshatriya spirit was incited by this gambling match, and they took a vow. And they were then sent to exile. They lost the second match also, gambling match. But even that exile also proved to be very good for them. When they went on exile, it is mentioned, Markandeya Rishi was not happy seeing them exiled. So he went to convince Dhritarashtra that what you have done is wrong. So Dhritarashtra was not agreeing with Markandeya Rishi. So Markandeya Rishi said, "Okay, I am peaceful, I don't have a problem. But as soon as I am going now, Maitreya Rishi is going to come. And he is going to be very much angry. And I am guaranteeing you, if you don't agree with him, he is going to curse you." But Dhritarashtra is not agreeing. Dhritarashtra is trying to convince Duryodhan that you should call your brothers back. But Duryodhan becomes so angry in the assembly where Maitreya Rishi is sitting that he starts exposing his legs. And Maitreya Rishi becomes angry and he curses him. That you will die by being beaten on your thigh. So anything happening in Mahabharata apparently is favoring Pandavas. Here we see. And then when they go on the exile, it is mentioned that again sage Vyasdev comes and tells that Arjuna, you should go on collecting your divine weapons. Go and please Indra and get some weapons for him. So he goes to please Indra, and Indra says, we first go to Lord Shiva, get Pashupata Astra from him, and then he goes to Indra then later and gets so many weapons from Indra Loka. Meanwhile, when Pandavas are there with Draupadi in exile, Lord Krishna arrives there. And Draupadi and all are happy seeing Krishna. But Draupadi asks a question, very straightforward question, because she is very much affected by the whole insult. And she asks Krishna, Krishna, why you are not there in a gambling match? Of course, now we don't require a reason why he is not there, because apparently everything was good. But even Krishna gave a reason externally. Krishna says, as soon as Shishupal was killed in the Rajasuya Yajna, immediately Shishupal's very dear friend, Shalva, he attacked Dwarka. And he was so powerful, he had his own airplane, he was so powerful that actually Dwarka was about to be destroyed. Therefore, I had to go. And so while I was protecting Dwarka and killing Shalva, and then later killing Dantavakra, the whole episode took place here. So I could not come. So Krishna apparently also gave a reason that why he did not come. So Vyasadeva told Arjuna to embark on a path of getting weapons. And we also saw that how Bhimsen, he went on to get that 1,000-petal lotus for Draupadi. And on the way, he meets Hanumanji. And Hanumanji also tells him that I will be with you on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So in this way, they come back and there's a great fight. And it is mentioned that the fight was completely, the principles on which the fight was built up, even they were also not proper, because Dhritarashtra had kept a principle that if there's a fight going on between both of you, if any one of the Pandavas die, then the Kauravas win. And on the other hand, unless all the 100 sons of mine will die, you will not win. This is how, but still Yudhishthir Maharaja completely was he completely remained peaceful. So Krishna knew that Yudhishthir Maharaja is very simple and he is very much, he will not speak anything. So therefore Krishna decided to intervene. And that's why Krishna applied all tricks, because he knew Yudhishthir Maharaja is so simple, people will come and take undue advantage of his simplicity. So Krishna decided to employ all the tricks in the Mahabharata war. And with all of the tricks, he then got Dronacharya killed, he got Bhishma killed, he got Jayadratha killed, and then finally when he also got Karna killed. And when Duryodhan, when everyone was destroyed and Duryodhan was in the water, in the river, in a lake, meditating, and the Pandavas go and challenge him. So when he comes out of the lake, that time Yudhishthira Maharaja is so simple, so benevolent. He gives him a benediction that you fight with any one of us, you choose. And by fighting any one of us, if you defeat any one of us, you will get all the kingdom back. Now Lord Krishna is hearing all this. But Lord Krishna arranges his illusory potency. So when Yudhishthir Maharaja is speaking to Duryodhan, Lord Krishna does not allow Duryodhan to hear that part. That you win, that even if you win with one person, you will be able to get all the kingdom. So Duryodhan has apparently not heard that. So Duryodhan, as a Kshatriya, he decides to fight with Bhimsen. So there also Krishna helps. And we see that ultimately how Krishna helped Pandavas to ultimately become victorious. And they were... ultimately their prowess, their glories are still sung today. So in this way we see that how Lord Krishna is always favoring his devotees. That is his Bhakta Vatsala nature. So Srila Prabhupada, even his life, Srila Prabhupada's life, we see that how Srila Prabhupada, he would go and venture on a mission which was in one sense impossible, but because he had firm faith in Krishna, Krishna would agree and Krishna will arrange for Prabhupada. Like Prabhupada many times told, let there be a temple. And it was so difficult. Every project of ISKCON where it was made, it was so difficult. But still that project flourished. It came up because it was Prabhupada's desire. So one time Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur. It was the initial days, that land, they had just procured the land. A small hut was there. Janina was mentioning this past time that he was there, Prabhupada was there, and Bhavananpuru also was there. So Prabhupada was telling Bhavananpuru that, we have to develop this land and we have to make a city out of it where 50,000 devotees will stay. And Bhavananpur was seeing all this land, paddy fields and only one hut, and was worried and was thinking that Prabhupada, where the money will come from? And Srila Prabhupada just smiled and laughed. Prabhupada said, our Bhavananda is always worried about money. And he mentioned that we have with us Madhav, Radha Madhava duty had just come. And who is Madhav? Madhav is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. So Prabhupada said, serve Madhav nicely. And if you serve Madhav nicely, the Goddess of Fortune will come running after you. And this devotee was mentioning that Prabhupada could see the vision, could see that how a person, a land which was completely not possible to develop, it was such a God-forsaken land, no communication, nothing. And today we see Mayapur has developed so much. And now they are going to build a big temple also there. So we can see that how Lord Krishna is always favoring his devotees, always wanting to serve his devotees. This is the special nature of Lord Krishna as a Bhakta Vatsala. Hare Krishna. Yadubar Prabhu is sitting here. We would like to ask him if he can speak sometime about this aspect of Lord Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class. It is true that in any adversity, there is, if we're devotees and we have firm faith in Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, that it always comes out favorable. I remember walking on the Juhu property. My wife and I were very privileged to serve from 1971 to 73 in the very early days of Juhu. We were walking on the property, we had a brochure for the big temple and hotel. But we were living in a very dilapidated hut with rats in the rafters and sometimes falling down on the devotees. You'd sweep the cement floor and the cement would break off. So gradually it was deteriorating as we were trying to clean it. So we just did not know how it would be possible for this project to come up. But by 1978, that project was completed. So we always have to have firm faith in the pure devotees and the Lord, and never doubt, because we definitely have had experience in the past. We were also at the first Mayapur festival in 1972 with one hut for Srila Prabhupada. The rest were tents. We were living in tents. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was sitting inside that hut, he looked very, very beautiful. And his comment was, I can live here, I can live in a palace, but I prefer to live in this hut. So there are very many wonderful pastimes in those early days, and it is so wonderful to see the transcendental fruits of that labor today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Any comments? Any other devotees want to speak something? So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.